The Jason Rantz Show.
Always glad to see Seattle radio host Jason Rantz.
It's always a pleasure to watch you and a pleasure now to host you.
Jason, I just love your coverage of what's been going on in Seattle.
Jason, this is as bad as it gets in America.
Jason Rantz, great to see you. Thank you.
Long Form, presented by Northgate Rare Coins and Precious Metals.
We've covered the local concerns around redistricting. Democrats submitted their plans last week that would make it even more difficult for Republicans here in Washington to get elected. And now some big names of the conservative movement are trying to bring some more attention to what's at stake so that you know there's something you can actually do. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and my next guest, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, they are the co-chairman of the National Republican Redistricting Trust. And Governor Christie joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we see Democrats here in Washington State basically trying to gerrymander their party into permanent power. They are getting rid of competitive districts. This is, of course, assuming if their maps are upheld. What are you seeing across the country?
Look, it's happening everywhere. In New York, Illinois are two other great examples of it. There's a conflict right next door in Oregon as well, where the strategy by former President Obama and Eric Holder is sue to blue. They know on the merits that they can't keep their majority in the House. You know, as the census showed, you know, more population moving to Republican areas and fair constitutional maps will lead to a Republican majority. So what they want to do is sue and hope that they get some of their liberal judges to see it and be able to sue their way to getting seats that they can't win either at the ballot box or that they can't do through a constitutional and fair map.
There's some irony to all of this because whenever you hear gerrymandering come up, it's generally not Republicans who talk about it. It's coming from Democrats who complain about all the unethical gerrymandering that's going on and how the Republicans are cheating the system, and yet they're the ones who are trying to cheat the system.
Well, look, let's remember this. That's what Democrats are best at, is moaning and complaining.
Yeah.
And they're very good at it. You got to give them credit. They moan and complain, and they have complicit partners in much of the mainstream media. And so they wind up, you know, getting that all amplified. But let's remember this. In our mission statement at the National Republican Redistricting Trust, our mission statement says to assist the states in preparing fair and constitutional maps. In the Democrat organization, run by Holder and Obama, their mission statement says to develop maps which are favorable to the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
So in our mission statements, we're saying we want a fair and constitutional map because we think if we get one, we'll win. They know they can't win with a fair and constitutional map, so they even say their own mission statement, we want maps that favor Democrats. Incredible.
It really is, because we had a situation here where the Democratic Party chairwoman, Tina Podlodowski, put out a press release condemning the move by the Republicans on the redistricting committee here, saying that they created too many competitive districts. And that's literally in the RCW on how to create districts when doing the redistricting here. It is remarkable.
I mean, you know, the incredible thing here is that competitive districts are the exact opposite of gerrymandering. They say they're against gerrymandering, but they oppose competitive districts. And by the way, I think we feel as Republicans, the more competitive districts, the better.
Yeah.
You know, from our perspective, we want to compete on the basis of our ideas, and we believe if we do, that this is a center-right country, not the far-left socialist vision that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have and Nancy Pelosi from San Francisco. So can we stop with that stuff, make it competitive districts? But they fear it. Obama and Holder and all the rest of the Democrats fear it because they know this is still a center-right country that is going to wildly reject the agenda that they're pushing in Washington right now.
Well, and it certainly seems like the issues are favorable to the Republican Party, right? I mean, take out the socialism aspect to it, because I suppose it depends on where you're making that pitch. But when it comes down to more concrete issues, when we're talking about vaccine passports or you don't keep your job, if we're talking about critical race theory in the classroom, it feels like now is a perfect time to take back control of the House and the Senate.
It absolutely is. And you hit on a number of good points there. First, on the education point, no matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, most Democrats in this country do not want that type of stuff being taught in the classroom. To judge your child on one side of your child or the other by their race only or by their gender only. And to assume that America is an inherently racist country, I mean, this is outrageous stuff that's being taught to our children. And to me, by the way, it's the greatest threat to our democracy out there. Because if you teach children of this coming generation that America is an inherently racist and evil place that supports white supremacy, why would they fight for a democracy like that? It goes to the very core of who we are.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a huge issue with why we want to keep CRT lenses out of the military. If we have a military that gets told all the time about how evil this country is, they're not really going to want to fight for it the same way. We're talking with the former governor of Chris Christie. He is now the co-chairman of an incredibly important group, the National Republican Redistricting Trust. It's making sure that we're doing what we can do to make competitive districts. The NRRT.org is the website. What can people actually do to get more involved? And I imagine that sort of changes state to state, but more generally.
It does. Look, in the states where they have public hearings, and that's in most of the states,
yeah,
citizens should show up at those public hearings and demand fair and constitutional maps. I can't tell you how important that is to establish that record of what the public wants. Because when Obama and Holder do sue, those comments become part of the record that the court must and can consider. And we want those people to be out there in the public who are saying, we don't want gerrymandered districts. We want competitive districts, and we demand it. That's one way to do it. The second is to make sure that you're talking to your state legislators.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those states where the state legislature plays a big role, talking to your state legislatures about telling them how important this is, how important this fight is to you as a citizen. Those are two of the really good ways that you can help in this cause. What Secretary Pompeo and I are going to be doing are two things. Help to raise the resources necessary to pay the legal teams throughout the country to get the right information to our legislators and the commissions so that they can draw fair and constitutional maps. And secondly, to be out there on shows like this one to make sure that the public is hearing not just from Obama and Holder, but it's hearing from conservative mm-hmm. Republican leaders who say fair and constitutional maps will lead to a Republican majority in the House in January of 2023.
Behind the scenes, though, is there anything being done to assume, for example, here in Washington State, maybe we lose a competitive district and it's a stronger hold for the Democratic Party? As you know, Washington State is pretty damn blue. It's not going to be an easy way to go Republican. But then you look at a state that maybe has a little bit more Republicans, but right now it's driven towards Democrats. Is there any kind of national wheeling and dealing going on behind the scenes to at least give up a seat here but pick up a seat there?
Look, there's always going to be strategic advice that we give in addition to legal advice. And that's going to differ, as you just illustrated, state by state, depending upon the condition in the state at the time. So we're always going to provide strategic advice as well as just legal advice to the folks here. But remember, for us, the goal is competitive districts.
Mm-hmm.
Because if competitive districts are drawn, we believe we'll win. And we only have a 5-vote deficit in the House of Representatives. And by the way, they sued in places like Pennsylvania and North Carolina last time, and those lawsuits are what led to their 5-vote majority. They won 7 seats through litigation. They would not be in the majority today if we had been better prepared to combat those suits. With Secretary Pompeo and I in the lead, we're going to be ready to help them fight those things and be ready this time. The NRRT didn't exist 10 years ago. It exists today to be able to make sure they have the resources and the expertise they need.
And for folks who want to help, again, the website is thenrrt.org, thenrrt.org. We're talking with former Governor Chris Christie. Let's switch gears to a related topic on this, where there are still, and you've had conversations about this, that some conservatives push back on, this idea that the election was stolen. And while there is clearly no evidence to suggest there was any kind of widespread conspiracy to steal an election, there very clearly were some issues that need to be addressed. Because of COVID, a lot of Democratic areas changed some of the policies on voting. They used COVID. They didn't go through the legislative process. And they want to keep those forever. So how do you talk about this issue in a way that doesn't completely alienate the folks who think that the election was stolen? And again, it was not. But also address some of the realistic concerns.
Well, the first thing is I think you have to tell the truth. And you started with what you just said. The election was not stolen. There was not significant enough fraud anywhere, let alone in six states, that would have given President Trump the victory over President Biden. So that's the first thing. You need to tell people the truth, and you need to explain that to them, the facts behind all that. But were the irregularities in this election because of COVID? Absolutely. The proliferation of mail-in ballots, even to those people who didn't request them. Mm-hmm. The harvesting of ballots. The proliferation of drop boxes that were not monitored. All those things are things that laws like the Georgia law and the Texas law have fixed. And then other states, they're fixing them as well. And you could tell why the Democrats don't like it. It's not because there's anything racist about it. In fact, in Georgia, there are more opportunities for early voting under the new law than there were under the old one. And in Georgia, there are more early voting days than in my state of New Jersey, where Stacey Abrams came and said we had one of the best laws in the country, and we have fewer early voting days than they do in Georgia.
Yeah.
What they don't want is ID requirements. What they don't want is to make sure that people who get a mail-in ballot have asked for the mail-in ballot. All those things make sense. We need to fix those problems, and Republican state legislatures across the country and Republican governors are doing that, and I think it's going to make the 2022 election in the main a more reliable one. And the last thing is, we need to get results sooner. And that's why we have to clean this stuff up, because when results don't come quickly, that's the atmosphere where these conspiracy theories, as unfounded as they are, tend to live and breed. So we need to do all those things. And I think Republican legislatures and governors around the country are doing that as we speak.
Last question for you. Your co-chairman, in this case, Secretary Pompeo, will be on the show as well. I'm going to ask him the same question. It's not going to be whether or not you're running for president, even though both of you have been named as potential candidates for president, because what you'll probably tell me is maybe I'm thinking about it, but right now I'm focused on this. Here's my question. Would you support the nominee for president, regardless of who it is, including if it's former President Trump?
Listen, I can't imagine a scenario under which I do not support the Republican nominee for president. I supported President Trump in 2016. In fact, I was the first major office holder who endorsed him after I left the race after New Hampshire, chaired his transition, and played Hillary Clinton in debate prep. In 2020, I played Joe Biden in debate prep for Donald Trump, and I voted for him both times. So I can't imagine that there would be any scenario under which I could support a Democrat. So I will be ready to support the Republican nominee, the people who our party puts forward in 2024, whether I'm a candidate in that race or not.
The only way we win elections is if we vote and if we get registered. And the only way we win some of these congressional races is if we have competitive districts. So go to the NRRT.org, the NRRT.org. Learn how you can help. We've been talking with former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, co-chairman of the National Republican Redistricting Trust. Thank you so much for coming on, Governor. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your great questions, and I appreciate you having me.
Thank you. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Now this.